So I think it's time to conclude. I mean, I don't know about you, but usually after a whole day of conference, I feel completely pooped, but I don't, you know. I've been sitting through and listening to everyone very, very carefully, and really, I must say, although the subject wasn't... a very decorative or very pleasant one, you know. I really enjoyed it thoroughly. So I'm just speaking for myself, but I hope that you shared in this impression. And I really feel very grateful to all of you for being here. To the speakers, to Madame Bosser, who keeps disappearing or being disappeared. Sanjit Kumar also, who helped me a lot in organizing this conference. And maybe you might think that on looking at the program that it's a sort of helter-skelter of things on India, Japan, China, you know, sort of thrown together. But in fact, I mean, I don't know whether you can sense the actual coherence, you see, of the presentations from the first one given by Professor Singh, who started, and I think it's, without revealing anything, I mean, I think it runs in the family, so to speak. I mean, this very in-depth reflection on what it means to wield political power, you know. And Professor Singh, you know, underlined from the very beginning of this conference that violence is actually inherent in the exercise of power, of rulership, kingship, and some potential kings, sovereigns, leaders, you see, are even afraid of having to exert this cruelty, you know, because they know that they'll have to do it, you see. So it might be frightening for subjects who have to undergo this state violence, but sometimes the leaders themselves, not the Chinese ones, obviously, but sometimes the leaders themselves might be afraid of this state monopoly of violence. And of course, I mean, by the end of the conference, I mean, we've seen a particular instance of this wielding of violence that goes into something like madness. You know, I think in the case of Mao, there was this folie du pouvoir, you know, this power mania, you know, that led him to, of course, I mean, the wielding of political power is about this paradox of the use of violence to achieve order, you know. But in the case of Mao, and I think Michel Bonin has showed it in a very convincing way, you have this use of, this unleashing of total violence, you know, of civil war, as he would say himself, you know, of hate of all against all, to actually ensure his own power, you know, his own personal power. And that's the complete madness about the situation. And in a way, Jean-Philippe Bejin has shown that now that China is in the hands of technocrats and let's say political managers, you see. In fact, I mean, this not only is this past still inscribed, you know, in their way of managing the country, but in a way they are sort of transforming it into something even more radical, totalitarian, and frightening, actually. I would you know sort of have a rather general remark because that would involve you know all the participants here. When Michel Bonin was telling us about the Great Leap Forward in 1958, by the way, we are not very far from that terrible war that took place between India and China in 1962, which was pretty traumatic as well. Anyway, Michel was saying that at that time, China was transformed into a big army. And so that reminds me of a remark I heard about Switzerland, you know. Someone, a Swiss citizen, described Switzerland not as having an army, but being an army, all right? You know? And, well, this is a sort of jocular way of saying that you have a number of great countries in the world that have been turned, you know, the great, you know, societies that have been turned into armies, you know. Of course, we can think of, we talked about Japan, we've been referring to Nazi Germany, we've been talking about the USSR, and China is also, you know, part of this club, you know, of big countries in the world that have been turned into an army, you know, to think like an army. And I was thinking, but maybe I'm wrong, you know, as I'm turning to my Indian colleagues here, maybe India is an exception, or for not being turned into an army. I mean, what do you think?
I think, you know, it's the army of trolls which are ruling people today. Mm-hmm. So then people are being ruled by the US or...
Yes, but what I mean by society being turned into an army is this really sort of iron discipline, you know, that that is supposed to unite the whole country. You know,
but I think that you have to be fair with the Swiss, you know, because we have Marianne here who is about to cry, you know, and I think that there are two kinds of armies. Of national armies, you have an army of citizens in Switzerland, and you have an army of subjects, like in China. You know, that's the difference.
All right. All right. So, any other, you know, anyone wanting to grab the opportunity? Yes.